Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yuma, daf Nun Tes 59. Again, deep appreciation for the Lupin Foundation for sponsoring the daf. Memory of Lois Saltzman. And we will continue with the Gemara that we went with yesterday. And we are up to the point in the Avodah Yom HaKippurim of the sprinkling. Let's move in this direction. Okay, good. In the sprinkling of the of the dam onto the Mizbech HaZahav. Okay, as we know it a number of times, the way way I've referred to it a number of times is 1A, 1B, 2A, 2B, and then 3A and B. Okay, 1A, 1A, 1B, again, A and B is the, A is the dam shel par, and B is the dam shel seir. So you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen Gadol goes in on three occasions. The first occasion he goes in, well, actually four occasions in total, but the first occasion he goes in store in order to create the pillar of smoke. Then the next time he goes in, he's coming in with the dam of the par. He's sprinkling achas lamala v'shev lamata. He then goes out and he shechs the seir, and then he brings in the blood of the seir. And once again, achas lamala v'shev lamata. So that's 1A, 1B. Then he exits the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he goes out into the Heichal. And he stands, what seems to be right in the center, facing the curtain. He would be facing in a western direction, and he would sprinkle in the direction of the curtain. Did he actually hit the curtain? As we learned a couple of days ago, subject to a machlokus. But anyway, 2A and 2B. So he would do the first, he would take the blood of the par and achas lamala v'shev lamata. He would take the blood of the seer, achas lamala v'shev lamata. And then what happens at that point in time is subject to a machlokus. According to one viewpoint, which is our Mishnah's viewpoint, is he mixes the bloods together. He takes the blood of the par and he pours it into the blood of the seer. He then pours it back into the empty bowl. And now he has a mixture of the two bloods. That's the opinion of our Mishnah. There are some Tanaim in the Gemara identify that it's the subject to the machlokas of Rav Yonasan and Rav Yoshia, which we saw the other day. There are some Tanaim who say that he doesn't mix the bloods, but let's assume he does. That's the Mishnah, and that's the accepted halacha. So he mixes the bloods together. And then he goes to the Mizbech HaZahav. And then he does an application of the Mizbech HaZahav. Here's what we all agreed to. He's going to hit the four corners of the Mizbech HaZahav. The Torah says Saviv. He goes around the corners of the Mizbech. I'll read the Pasuk inside. This is Pasuk Yud Ches in the Torah. The Torah says, V'yatza el HaMizbech, and he goes out to the Mizbech, Hashem Lufnei Hashem, V'chiper Alav, he provides a kapara on the Mizbech, V'lakach Midam HaPar, Midam HaSir, and he takes from the blood of the goat, the blood of the bull and the blood of the goat, V'nasan al karnos ha-mizbech saviv. And he applies them to the four corners. So there's nothing to disagree with. The Torah says he hits the four corners. And then the Torah says, V'hiza alav min adam be'etzpo sheva pa'amim. And then he sprinkles the blood seven times. So after doing the four corners, there's then going to be on top of that another seven applications of blood. On what part of the mizbech? The Torah is not clear. The Torah doesn't say where exactly on the mizbech. All the Torah then says is viti haro v'kidusho. He's metair is mekadesh. So we'll see what those words mean. Mitumos b'nei Yisrael. And then and then what does he do? V'chila mechaper l'kosh v'esol moed v'es mizbech v'ikri v'sasir ha'chai. I'm sorry. What happened? Okay. No. He's up. No. Okay. Fine. All right. That's for our purposes. That's what we need to focus on. So what we're going to do in the Gemara right now, we're going to start on Nun Ches Amud Beis. We're going to go back to the two dots, Tanu Rabbanan, which is right in the middle of the Amud. So here's going to be a number of our discussions that we're going to be having over the course of today. In other words, so we all agree that he's going to go around the Mizbech and he's going to hit the four corners of the Mizbech. Where does he start? Where does he finish? Which direction does he go around the Mizbech, clockwise or counterclockwise? We know it's counterclockwise, but that's our Mishnah. We'll see a dissenting viewpoint. When he exits, after doing the application of blood to the Mizbech Azav, he's going to go out to the Mizbech, Mizbech HaChitzon. And any remaining blood, the Shirayim, is going to be poured onto the foundation of the Mizbech. South side of the foundation, west side of the foundation. Okay, so a number of very detailed machloksim taking place within the Gemara in terms of some of the details of the Avodah. Tanu Rabbanan, we're starting in the middle of the Amud. Smack in the middle of Nun Ches Amud Beis. And Hischa Mechatev Yar and Mehechana Yamaschel, Mikar Mizrach is Drumis. So he starts in the southeast. Again, this is the opinion, as we'll see in just a moment, of Rabbi Yossi Haglili. This is Rabbi Akiva. Okay, I apologize. This is going to be the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and we're going to see in just a moment the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Haglili argues. So Rabbi Akiva says he starts in Mizrach is Drumis, he starts in the southeast, in Drumis Maravis. And then he goes to the southwest. Marav is Tzfonis, he goes to the northwest. Tzfonis Mazrachis, and he ends up in the northeast. Okay. Divrei Rabbi Kiva, that's the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. So the two things to notice about Rabbi Kiva. A, the beginning and end point begins in the southeast, and he ends in the northeast. And the other thing to note from Rabbi Kiva is that he's not going counterclockwise, and that's very unusual. Meaning, as every time we go circling, so we always go in a counterclockwise motion. And Rabbi Kiva over here is not going counterclockwise, but rather he's going clockwise. So that's very unusual, and the Gemara is going to try to explain him in just a moment. Rav Yosei Glili, Omer Mikar Mizrachis, Tzvonis, Tzvonis, Maravis, Maravis, Dromis, Dromis, Mizrachis, Malkum, I'm sorry, Dromis, Mizrachis. And Rabbi Yosei Glili disagrees, and his position has already been reflected in our Mishnah, which is, you start off in the northeast, and you go counterclockwise, northwest, southwest, and then southeast. So the Gemara notes, so what happens? They're basically mirror images of one another. Malkum Shrabi Yosei Glili Maschil, Sham Rabbi Akiva Poseg, Malkum Shrabi Akiva Maschil, Sham Rabbi Yosei Glili Poseg. Period. So the Gemara notes that really they are mirror images of one another. Okay. Now, in terms of clockwise, counterclockwise, Gemara is going to deal with that in just a moment. We're going to come back to that. But in the meantime, however, let's just deal right now with one issue, and that's the starting point. Meaning Rabbi Akiva has a starting point occurring in the southeast of the Mizbech HaZahav, and Rav Yosef Lili has a starting point in the northeast. What's that issue over here? So take a look at Rashi. Let's take a look at Rashi together. So, Meheichan Maschil Mekeren Mizrachit Dromis. So Rashi over here tackles this issue, and Rashi over here explains why it is that they disagree in terms of where the starting point is. Kasavar. Now Rashi over here is explaining that the starting point is the southeast. That means he's explaining the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Why is Rabbi Akiva starting in the southeast? So Rashi explains Kasavar Shtei Paruchas Hayu. So Rashi says Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that there are two curtains. Now that's good because that's how we hold. Okay, it's not going to work out so well. It's going to get a little sloppy. I mean sloppy, meaning because we do hold that there are two curtains. Meaning you look at the Rambam's description, there are two curtains. And here says Rashi, here's what the conclusion is going to be. If there are two curtains, you can look over here on the diagram above me. There are two curtains. So that means that when you're exiting from the Kodesh Kodeshim to the Heichal, so what side are you on in the Heichal? You're on the south side of the Heichal. Okay. So now you're walking from the south side and you're walking towards the Mizbeach. Now, granted, it gets a little bit problematic because you're not going straight exiting from the south side to the Mizbeach. You first have to sprinkle 2A and 2B. So, admittedly, that is a little bit of an issue. But let's just, again, just to simplify and maybe oversimplify, but you're coming from the south side. So if you're coming from the south side and you're heading to the Mizbeach, so what is the first corner you're going to hit on the Mizbeach? You're going to hit the southwest corner. So if I'm hitting the southwest corner, so why don't I start sprinkling on the southwest corner? The Gemara is going to ask that very question. And the Gemara is going to say, well, the Torah says, V'yatza, right? The beginning of Pasuk Girches. You have to exit. Now, that does not mean you're exiting the Heichal. You're not exiting the Heichal. But it means that you have to go to the other side. So you are hitting the southwest. The Torah says, V'yatza, which means that you have to go further east. So you're going to go to the southeast side. Southeast is going to be your first corner that you're going to hit. Now, not really. Southwest is your first corner. But because of the Yatsa, you're going to go to the southeast. That is how Rashi explains the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Let's see this inside. I'll read inside in Rashi. Rashi is about 10 lines from the bottom. Rashi begins the Divra Maschum Eichen Hitzchel Mikarim Nizrachis Dromis. Rashi writes, Katsavar, Shtei Parachas Hayu Vachitzana Prupa Min Adarim. So there are two curtains, and as you're exiting into the Heichal, so you're coming out from the south side. So Rashi recognizes the fact that you are going to sprinkle on the paroches. And then Rashi notes that now you're going to walk to the Mizbeach. First corner you're going to hit, as I explained a moment ago, Rashi says it, you're going to hit the southwest. Come on. Now you're not going to do anything on the southwest, as the Gemara is going to note, to be in a v'yatza, because there has to also be a fulfillment of the pasuk of v'yatza. Ad denafik mikulei mizbeach lefichach yotzei lemizrachis dromis. So Rashi says, what are you going to do? You go out to the southeast. Umascho sham v'chozer derech smola. My Rav Shmuel wants to come and parach lakif derechim in. And Rashi previews the Gemara. The Gemara later on will ask a very simple question. Good. I start in the southeast, but then go counterclockwise. We always go counterclockwise. Why is Rashi having us go clockwise? Okay. Gemara is going to ask that question. That is Rashi explaining Rabbi Akiva. And now the next Rashi, and what about Rabbi Yossi Aglili? What does he hold? So Rashi writes, next Rashi, Savar la ka Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Aglili agrees with Rabbi Yossi. Right? Two different tonight. But they agree. Only one exit from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that is from the north. So that means that as he's exiting from the, on the north side. So again, first corner of the Mizbeach that he's going to encounter, northwest. But he doesn't start on the northwest. Why? Again, because you have that pasuk of Viyatza. He has to go further east. So, So that's why, according to Rav Yosef Aglili, he starts on the north, on the northeast, and he goes in a counterclockwise motion. Essentially, to put it all very simply and succinctly, basically what Rashi does is he explains that the machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rav Yosef Aglili is going to be founded in the machlokus of what side is he exiting from the Kodesh Kodashim, from the south side or from the north side. Rabbi Akiva has him exiting from the south side, so therefore the sprinkling of the blood is going to be occurring on the south side, southeast. And Rabbi Yosef Aglili has him exiting on the north side, so therefore the sprinkling of the blood is going to be taking place in the northeast. Okay? Simple, straightforward. Because of Ein Mavir and Al Mitzvos, now he is skipping a corner, right? Rashi notes, both according to Rabbi Akiva and according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili. He is leaving the, according to Rabbi Akiva, southwest corner, and according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, the northwest corner. That's all true, but that's the Pasuk, the Yatza. The Yatza tells us he has to go to the east side. Back to the Gemara. The Gemara is, we just finished the Brice and the Gemara. The Gemara over here has some very basic questions. So the Gemara asked the question, we already know the answer, we saw this in Rashi. How come according to Rabbi Akiva he doesn't start in the southwest? How come according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili he doesn't start in the northwest? So the Gemara says, I'm a Shmuel, I'm a Krav, Yatzal, I'm Mizbeach, Adanafik Mikula Mizbeach, because of the Yitziah. He has to exit. Now again, it doesn't mean he exits the room, but in other words, he has to bypass the Mizbeach, then turn around and meet the Mizbeach, so he's meeting it on the east side. Well, the Rabbi Akiva nakif derechim in. So the Gemara now asks another very simple question. According to Rabbi Akiva, good. So you're starting in the southeast, but then what should be your next corner? Northeast. You should be going counterclockwise. In other words, whenever facing something, which turn do you make? Your first turn should be a right turn. And the Gemara says, Lema b'derami bar Yecheskel kamefilgi. And you mean to tell me that Rabbi Akiva argues with Rami bar Yecheskel? Now, in truth, Rami bar Yecheskel is an Amora. And Rabbi Akiva certainly can argue with an Amora. But, and just the opposite, an Amora can't argue with the Tana. But the Gemara is going to know in just a moment, we all agree with Rami bar Yecheskel. Meaning, Rami bar Yecheskel is not saying anything controversial. He's saying something which is unanimously and universally accepted. So the Gemara is basically asking, how can Rabbi Akiva not hold of this concept, which is Dam Rami Bar Yecheskel Yamsha Asa Shlomo, the Yamsha Shlomo, literally the Sea of Shlomo. It's not a sea; it's a lake, and it's not really a lake. It's more like a mikvah. It's a man-made mikvah. It is 100 amas in diameter and 300 amas in radius. In fact, Gemara Ne'erivin says that it's from this psukim in Chumash, in Navi, in the beginning of Sefer Malachim, that we learn about the relationship between the diameter and the circumference. Now, granted, by the way, that we know it to be pi, we know it to be an irrational number, 3.14, and then it goes on from that point going forward. But okay, the Navi says it's 3-1. The Mishnah says it's 3-1. The Rambam writes it's an approximation. The Torah knows that it's an approximation. All right. Where was it located? I don't know. I don't know the geography well enough to know. But fine, it was a mikvah.
It was on Arabite or no?
I apologize. I just don't know. I'd only be guessing. So Yamsha Sashama Omed Ashnema Sar Bakar Shosha Panim Tzfona, and It was flanked by 12 cattle. Not actual cow, but in other words, things that took on the shape of cattle. Three of them would be facing north, Ushosh Aponim Yama, and then three of them would be facing west, and you see what just happened. Meaning we went from the north side, and which turn did we make while facing the north? We made a right-hand turn, which brings us now to the west side. Vishosh Ampona Negba, and then the south, Vishosh Ampona Mizrach, and then the east. Vahyalem, Alamala, Vacholacharem, Besa, Halamata, Shekopina, Shatapona, Lo Yehela, Derech Yamin. And again, from here we learn that you always go counterclockwise, meaning when you face something, you're going to make that first right-hand turn. Now, granted, as we've noted already a number of times, after that first right-hand turn, it's a bunch of lefts, right? It's going to be a series of lefts. But that's not the point. The point is that your first turn has to be a right-hand turn. So the Gemara says, Ela Derech Yamin, Lemizrach. Now the word Lemizrach, Rashi points out over here on our Gemara, is not germane to our discussion. The Gemara just simply says that in that particular scenario, it was Lemizrach. But okay, in other words, but the point is, the main point of Rami Bar Yecheskel is that you're always going to make a right-hand turn. So Mar Yisla Derami Bar Yecheskel, Mar Leisla Derami Bar Yecheskel. And then the Gemara says, and is that what's going on over here? Meaning where, according to Rav Yossi Aglili, you start in the northeast, and you're going to make a right-hand turn, which is going to put you down in the northwest, and then you just go in a counterclockwise motion like we normally do. And you mean to tell me now that Rabbi Akiva argues on Rami Bar Yecheskel, and he doesn't have you making a right-hand turn? The Gemara says, low. No, that's not what's going on. The Gemara says, Rami Bar Yecheskel is a tenet. It is an accepted principle that you make right-hand turns. Okay. The issue over here is as follows. In the outer Mizbeach, it's a no-brainer. You always make a right-hand turn. Whenever you're going to be making some sort of sivuv around the outer Mizbeach, you're always going to start off with a right-hand turn, and you're always going to go counterclockwise. The issue over here is as follows. Does that translate into the Mizbeach HaZahav? Meaning everything that we know that we've established to be true outside, is that true inside as well? Rabbi Kiva Nehidalo, I'm sorry. So Mechutz myself lo yafin panim mechutz. Fine. So the Gemara says that's the machlokus between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Yossi Aglili obviously subscribes to the viewpoint it does translate. Whatever's true outside is true inside. Just like outside you make a right hand turn, so to inside. And Rabbi Kiva says no, it doesn't translate. To which the Gemara asks, okay. Rabbi Akiva, Nehidolo Yalef Panim Mechutz, Ibai Hachinavit, Ibai Hachinavit. But according to Rabbi Akiva, what's compelling him? Meaning you don't have to make a right-hand turn. Okay, but you also don't have to make a left-hand turn. Meaning it sounds like you're not going to be required to make a right-hand turn. But if given the choice, which the Gemara now assumes you have, if given the choice, why wouldn't you make a right-hand turn? What's compelling Rabbi Akiva to go from the southeast to the southwest? Amlecha Rabbi Kiva, bidina b'ahu karen depaga b'resha b'ahu avid b'resha. So Rabbi Kiva says, you know why? It's kind of like guilt. It's not the best way to explain the Gemara. It's not really guilt. But basically like this. How did you get to the southeast? What corner did you pass to get to the southeast? So you pass the southwest corner. Again, you're coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You pause at the Paroches. Now you're walking to the Mizbeach, the first corner you're hitting is the southwest corner. But you pass it, because of the Pasuk of Vayatzar. So now you're at the southeast. Okay. So basically, what should have been the first corner that you did? I mean, should have. It's hard to say it that way. But in other words, what's the corner that you passed by? The southwest corner. So you're in the southeast, because of the Pasuk of Vayatzar. You're spunking first in the southeast, because in Mavir and Ala Mitzvos. And then, yeah, I could make a right, I could make a left. You know what? I'd rather make a left. Why? Because I passed the southwest to get here. You know what? Let's go back to the southwest. Right? That's the Amar Yesh Lakish Ein Mavir Ala Mitzvos. So, because of this principle of Ein Mavir Ala Mitzvos. Now, I know it's funny. In this context, it's strange. Because you did. Yeah, right? you passed it. So, in other words, I understand Ein Mavir Ala Mitzvos, but... Right. That makes this discussion very, very difficult to understand. Meaning it's not a mitzvah. The Torah says v'yatzav, which means that it's not until you get to the southeast corner now you have a mitzvah. So it is a difficult discussion to have. I'm admitting it. I don't fully understand it. But the Gemara says, "Ein ma'avirin al mitzvos." So v'amaylo avim mishum dichtiv yatzal mizbech. Now the reason why I didn't start in the southeast is because of the pasuk of vayatzal. Adenafik mikulam mizbech. You have to exit the area of the mizbech, meaning you have to be on the east side of the mizbech. V'kevin diavid diayva u'karen hadasalo karen diyachayev lemeisav bereisha. And since you skipped over the southwest, And you are mavir la mitzvos, so therefore, after doing an application on the southeast, you go back to the southwest in order to, you know, make up for your mistake, even though it's not a mistake. Okay. You can obviously hear, by the way, how confused I am over this entire discussion. Yes.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, fine. Ibai Zema. So again, so let's quickly recap. Right now, a focus of the Gemara has been given a lot of attention to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, we know what he does. He starts in the southeast and then moves in a clockwise direction around the Mizbeach Hazav, going to the southwest, northwest, and then he finishes in the northeast. That is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Gemara asks the question, why not follow the rule of Rami Bar Yecheskel? So the Gemara says, well, Rami Bar Yecheskel is a halacha for the outer Mizbeach, not for the inner Mizbeach. The Gemara says, okay, but what's compelling you to go to the left? In other words, if you have the option of going to the right or going to the left, go to the right. To which the Gemara says, well, you bypass the southwest, you are mavir la mitzvah, so after doing the southeast, go back to the southwest. Okay. Ad kan, that is one explanation of Rabbi Akiva.
Can you say that going counterclockwise and going to the right pushes off the mitzvah?
Yeah, and I would have said that. In other words, had the Gemara not put it in these terms, I would have, of course, gone counterclockwise. But the Gemara has a brisa, and the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, is very clear about what his position is. And now it's just a question of explaining Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, we know what the conclusion is. What's the explanation? So the Gemara just offered one. Ibai Yisema, we're now in the top of the New Testament of today's daf. Another possible explanation, Yisrael anakafa b'regel dukulam lo pligid yafin and p'nim echus. The Gemara says, as far as, look, if we were to walk around the Mizbech HaZahav, there's not going to be any argument. We're all going to make a right-hand turn. Rami Bar Yecheskel's rule is universal. It's accepted. You always make a right-hand turn when you're walking. But you know what could be at issue over here? Maybe according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no walking. Meaning, according to Rabbi Akiva, what do? You stand in one spot, and you do an application while standing in one spot. Now, how big was the Mizbech HaZahav? We're not talking about height. We're just talking right now about length and width, an amma by an amma. And in terms of height, it wasn't that tall. It's 2.5 ammas high. So this table over here is probably, in terms of its length, it's probably longer. Meaning the Mizbech, 1 amma by 1 amma, so it's somewhere in the ballpark of 1.5 to 2 feet by 1.5 to 2 feet. Let's say 2 feet just to make it simple. 2 feet.
Like this desk.
Right? Yeah, more like this desk. So basically, it would be no different than me just standing on one corner and just simply hitting all four corners. Now, the diagonal is obviously going to be the tricky one, which the Gemara is going to note in just a moment. But it could be that, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no walking. As opposed to the Mizbech HaChitzon, where there's walking. There has to be walking. 28 amas in both length and width in the outer Mizbech. So you have to walk. So the Gemara says that could be the machlokas. V'hacha b'hacha miflgi, marsav ha'kafa b'yana, marsav ha'kafa b'regel. And that's the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. The Gemara doesn't explain, however, to be fair, what's compelling Rabbi Akiva to go from the southeast to the southwest. And I guess you have to go back to what the Gemara said previously. And that because you pass the southwest, so therefore you're going to go head back to the southwest. But because you're not walking, you can actually do that. In other words, you can go from the southeast to the southwest. But if you had to walk, you obviously would have gone to the southeast to the northeast. The Gemara offers another possible suggestion. And that is that everybody agrees you're not walking. You're standing in one spot, and you're doing the application while standing in one spot. And maybe the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is that despite the fact that I'm not walking, but maybe whatever is true regarding the feet would also be true regarding the hand. If I were walking, I would go counterclockwise, so my hand should also go counterclockwise. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. And Rabbi Akiva would say no. The halacha of making right-hand turns, that's only with your feet. But that doesn't compel you to make right-hand turns with your hand. With your hand, you can go in a clockwise motion. V'savar Rav Yosef Glula Kafa Biyad, the Gemara says, but that's not, that last suggestion, the Gemara says, is simply untenable. How do I know that? Because if you go back to our Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you stand in one spot. He's obviously disagreeing with Rav Yosef Glili. The Tanakama. Meaning the Tanakama of our Mishnah clearly holds that he's walking around with his legs. So the Gemara says, Machvarta. The explanations we gave previously, either Rav Yekiba and Rabbi Yosef Glili are arguing whether you walk or you don't walk. Or maybe we'll go back to the previous explanation. They both agree that you walk. It's just a question of leather, yalfin, and chutz mipnim. Anyway, the point is, this last explanation is just simply not tenable. Gemara gives another explanation, although the truth of the matter is this other explanation of the Gemara, very similar to what we said earlier. And that is, it's just a question of whether you're walking around or you're standing in one spot. The Gemara does note that the entire area of the Mizbech HaZahav would represent just but one corner of the Mizbech HaChitzon. Right, in the Adam Mizbech, we talk often about the Kronos, the horns of the Mizbech. It's not horns, it's just simply protrusions that occur in all four corners. How big are we talking about in terms of a protrusion? One amma by one amma with a height of an amma. So the truth of the matter is that this Mizbech HaZahav is really all but the size of one corner of the four corners of the Mizbech HaChitzon. In other words, it's so small, you don't have to walk around. You could just simply go and apply it to all four corners. It's funny, this picture is not drawn to scale. Because the Mizbech HaZahav over here shouldn't be any bigger than one of the corners of the Mizbech HaChitzon. Okay. Back to the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Continuing now in the discussion of the Mishnah, an explanation of the Mishnah. Where do we land on all this? Meaning, in terms of halacha, in terms of the Rambam, the accepted halacha. So the Rambam goes like Rav Yosef Glili. Ben asked me yesterday. I didn't research this matter. In other words, normally we follow like Rabbi Akiva. Right? That's now it happens to be to I was gonna make that point. Meaning that Rabbi Akiva really represents in our Mishnah the minority viewpoint. Meaning that we normally follow, if it were just Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Yosef Glili, so then it would seem to be right. Maybe we should follow like Rabbi Akiva. However, as we noted yesterday, the Mishnah Nunches Amud Beis, starting off on the top, starts us off where you start in the northeast and then you go in a counterclockwise. And that's the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama is representing the majority position, the Chachamim. So it's not just Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Yosef Glili, it's Rabbi Akiva against the Chachamim. I guess that's why that would be the accepted viewpoint. So the accepted viewpoint is that you do start in the northeast and you go in a counterclockwise and you end up in the southeast. Okay. Rabbi Kiva Omer Bimkoma Yomed Umichate. Now Rabbi Kiva says you would stand in one spot. In other words, you would not walk around, you would stand in one spot, and you would hit all four corners standing in one spot. Now you remember what we said yesterday? Let's review. What we noted yesterday is that the spot that you were standing right opposite, so in other words, if let's say this was the corner you were standing against, so here you would not go in and you had to hit every corner. But you would in the corner that was facing you, you would go in an up. You would not go in an up direction. You would go in a down direction. Why? For a very logistic reason. Because if you went in an up direction, so that means that your finger now would end up with the blood going up, and good chance is that it's going to go right in your sleeve, and that obviously should be avoided. Kohen Gadol should try to keep his clothing white, even though he's working with blood. However, what did Rabbi Eliezer say in our Mishnah? When you go to the other corners, you can go in an upward direction. Because when you go into any of the other corners, your hand's going to be extended. So as opposed to over here, where you're standing right up against this corner, so by you going up, it's going to go around your sleeve. But over here, your arms are extended, so therefore the chances are it's not going to go on your sleeve. That is Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, and again, the guiding principle of that is you just simply don't want to get your clothing dirty. Well, he's standing, the assumption is he's standing opposite one corner. So these two, again, this is a rectangle, so it's not a great shape, but these two are equidistantly distant from him. No, no, he's standing by a corner. Okay, the Gemara now is just going to note we have a small discrepancy on this issue. And again, what we're doing now is we're studying the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, and it's not the accepted viewpoint, but the Gemara notes, however, that there is a discrepancy in what exactly his viewpoint actually is. Ma'asisa mani Rav Yehuda hi d'tanya. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah is following Rav Yehuda. Meaning, as we'll see in just a moment, there's a machlokis Tanayim, later Tanayim, Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, or those are like last generation Tanayim. There's a machlokis Tanayim in terms of what the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer is, an earlier Tana. Detanya, we learned Tanabrais, Rabbi Meir, Omer. This is Rabbi Meir's version of what Rabbi Eliezer holds. Mimkomo Omen, Mechatev Akulan, Haya, Nosein, Mimala, Lemata, on all of them you go down. Except for the one that's diagonal from him, shenosen mimata lemala. There you go in an upward. That is Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says that both for the one that is directly facing him, he's going to go in a downward motion. So too the ones that are to his right and to his left, it's only when he goes onto he heads in the hypotenuse direction, and he goes to the one that is diametrically opposed to him, there he's going to go in an upward direction. That's Rabbi Meir's version of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Bim Kam Omer, Mechat Ve'akulah Nosim Malamat Alamala. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you always go in an upward motion. Mechat Ve'akulah Nosim Malamat Alamala. Chutz Mizusha Isal Afan of Mamash. Except for the one that was directly in front of him, Shenosim Malamata, Ki Hech Indulon Nisfasen Manei. So that his clothing doesn't get dirty. Okay, so basically, a machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, exactly what the opinion is of Rabbi Eliezer, and then, oddly enough, our Mishnah follows which version? The Rabbi Yehuda version. Why is that odd? Because generally speaking, Mishnahs do follow like Rabbi Meir. Right? Stam Mishnah ka Rabbi Meir, and it is a little bit strange that our Mishnah is following the Rabbi Yehuda version. But it is. Okay. He's a Memen Altira Shomizbech. And we continue. We are now, so we finished the four applications. So we noted already a number of debates regarding the four applications. One debate is in terms of starting point. Machlokis between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosef Glili. Another machlokis is which direction you go, clockwise or counterclockwise. Another machlokis between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosef Glili. Another machlokis, do I walk or do I stand in one spot? A machlokis in our mission between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. A machlokis in the Braisa between Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Kiva. Okay. It's good. And now I have everything straight. Like, ask me like 12 hours from now and I'll be like, oh. But, okay, good. For a short amount of time, I have everything straight. Now it's being recorded now, so it's a good time to get everything straight. So now we're up to after the four applications on the four corners, then there's going to be seven applications. Now, as I mentioned earlier in the beginning of today's daf, I read from the Pesukim, not really clear from the Pesukim where this is happening. So again, I'm reading now, this is Pasuk Yates, V'izalav min adam be'atzpo sheva pa'amim, I sprinkle with the blood with his finger seven times, V'ti aro v'kidesho mitumas b'nei Yisrael. Okay. Meaning, I know, just from the context, I know I'm in the area of the Mizbeach Hazav, but that's it, that's all I know. Where are these seven sprinklings occur? So that's the Gemara's question. So, v'hizah mimenu al tiarosh ha-mizbeach. Well, the Mishnah gives us a better hint. The Mishnah says, you know what, you're going to hit the Mizbeach, you're going to hit it at the purity of the Mizbeach. Now that's a good hint, but that's still not a lot of information. Where exactly is the purity of the Mizbeach? What does the Mishnah mean by that when the Mishnah says Tiaros HaMizbech? So my Tiaros. So the Gemara actually is not clear, not totally clear about where this is. Amar Rava Bar Rashula, Pag de Mizbeach. So Rava Rashula says the halfway point of the Mizbeach, meaning the top half of the Mizbeach, not the horizontal, on the vertical, but the top portion. How do I get that from the word Tahara? What's the connection? What's the word association? So kedami shi'tiar tara. I'm sorry, tahar tiara. Rashi points out this is a reference to the day when we talk about midday, right? We say Rashi says targum shel tzaharayim shu bechatzi hayom, right? The beginning of the afternoon. When's the beginning of the afternoon? When the sun is hit the middle of the sky. In other words, it basically splits the western hemisphere and the right and the western and the eastern and the western hemisphere. Okay, fine. So therefore, when you get to the midpoint. So here, when we're talking about the Mizbeach, and we're going up the vertical of the Mizbeach, so basically the entire vertical height of the Mizbeach is 2.5 amah, so the top 1 1/4 of the Mizbeach. Va'avei paga diyuma. Meisve, the Gemara says, I don't think that's correct. Kishu'umazin o'mazin lo agabi ha'efer v'lo agabi gachalim. When you sprinkle your 7 sprinklings on the Mizbeach, not on the ashes, and not on the coals. Ashes? Coals? Where are we? We're clearly not on the vertical. We're clearly on the horizontal plane, where the ashes and the coals are placed. Why are there ashes and coals there? Because Ketores is being burned there daily, in the morning and the afternoon. So when you're sprinkling the blood on Yom Kippur, make sure not to hit the ashes and not to hit the coals. Clearly we're not on the vertical plane. Clearly we're on the horizontal plane.
So what are we talking about? This is the 1 elbow.
Yeah, correct. Ella, so the Gemara says, what are you going to do? Make some room. Make sure to make some room so that the blood is actually going to be hitting the very top of the Mizbeach. Okay, so to put it simply, it's clear from the Braisa, top of the Mizbeach. So now we have to give a new pshat on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Tiara Shel Mizbeach, the purity of the Mizbeach. Not what we just suggested a moment ago. The top half of the vertical. So, Ela Amar Abba Babashil Al Giluya de Mizbeach. It is the most revealed part of the Mizbeach. The upper portion of the Mizbeach, i.e. the horizontal top. Okay, and the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Shmos, in the end of Mishpatim, right, the clarity that we saw of the celestial vision. Anyway, Tanya, Chananya Omer Bitzad Tzfoni Hu Nosein, Rav Yosem Omer Bitzad Drami Hu Nosein. Okay. And then the Gemara over here brings down another detailed machlokes regarding, we know it's the top, we know it's the horizontal top of the Mizbeach, north side or south side. Now it's funny, what happened to east and west, meaning it's a square. Why are we only talking about the north and the south? Because the Gemara is going to explain. And then this is contingent on the machlokas of whether when he was leaving the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was he leaving from the north side or was he leaving from the south side? So Rashi explains. Right? Chananya Omer Bitzad Tzfoni Hayanosein. I'm going to go through two Rashis quickly. Chananya is of the opinion that the exit of the from the Kodesh HaKadoshim is in the south. Now he doesn't start in the southwest, as we explained earlier, says Rashi. He goes to the southeast. He starts in the southeast. Now v'hadol amarav is dromis, for small. Mishum de Baha Ichai Bereisha Kedamin La'el. And now he goes from the southeast, and where it's the next corner that he hits the southwest, as we explained earlier, because he skipped it, and he was Mavir on Mitzvah, and ain't Mavir on Mitzvah. So he starts in the southeast, he goes to the southwest. So where is he ending? He's ending in the northeast. And now he's sprinkling. So he's standing in the northeast, he's sprinkling, so he was going to go away from his body, because this is not an application, this is a sprinkle. So therefore, what side of the Mizbech he's going to be hitting? He's going to be hitting the south. Right? That's Rabbi Chananya. And then Rabbi Yossi saw for the next Rashi, Kedekam Rabbi Masis, and Hilchach, B'mizrach Tzfonis Maschel, V'dromis Mizrachis Messiah. V'hasam Yahiv Lahazos. And according to Rabbi Yossi, he starts in the north because, as we pointed out earlier this morning, Rabbi Yossi has him exiting from the north side of the Mizbeach. No, I'm sorry, the north side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So therefore, he's in the north side of the Heichal. He's going to be hitting the northwest side of the Mizbeach HaZahav. But again, Vayatza. He's got to go to the northeast. He goes to the northeast and then he goes counterclockwise. Where has he ended? In the southeast. So now he's sprinkling. Which direction of the Mizbech is he sprinkling towards? The north side of the Mizbech. Okay, hopefully all that was clear. So Pizcha B'daron Kai, Omar Sarver, Pizcha B'tzafon Kai. Dekula Amami Aichen, Degamran Matanos, Degamran Matanos, Karnos, Hasam Yahiv Agago. Look, what is universally accepted, although there are obviously disagreements in terms of where you're going to the north or where you're going to the south, but it's really all a function of where you finished the blood application. My time, I'm a krav, v'tiyaro v'kiddushol, makom shekiddusho sham tiyaro. Because the Torah says v'tiyaro v'kiddusho. The place that you're finished your kiddush, that means your blood applications of the four corners, that's where you're going to be mitaher. That's where you do your seven sprinklings on the top of the mizbeach. Shayar adam shofech ha'yison ma'ra v'shal mizbeach ha'chitzon. Okay. And then, what happens with all blood that are left over? It gets poured. Where does it get poured out to? The outer Mizbeach. South. West side of the outer Mizbeach. The Amar Krav is called Dama Par Yishpoch V'chi Nafik Ba'u Paga Bereisha. So the Gemara says, and when you go out, which side of the Mizbeach are you going to encounter first? As you leave now, in other words, here the Kohen Gadol has finished the application of the Mizbech Hazav. He walks out, he continues to walk out. Obviously, the first Yisod, the first foundation is going to be on the western side of the Mizbech HaChitzon. Okay. Vishal Mizbech HaChitzon, Yeshofech HaYisod Dramis. Okay, now, when doing a regular Chatas, what did our Mishnah say? Meaning, on Yom Kippur, our Mishnah says that he's going to pour it onto the western Yisod, because that's the one he's hitting first. Okay. With principle of Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvos. Okay. But when doing a regular Chatas, outside on the Adar Mizbeach, so whatever blood is left over in the bowl, the Shiarim, get poured down the south side. Tanur Rabban Yisod HaMizbeach Zeh Yisod Dramas. So the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa, the Braisa is in Zvachim. We're seeing it again today on Ardaf. The Yisod HaMizbeach, you pour onto the Yisod HaMizbeach again. This is talking about the blood of the Kohen Gadol. So Zeh Yisod Dramas. So that's the southern side. Not like our Mishnah. Atomer Yisod Dramas, so I know all the Yisod Maravis. Maybe it's the western. Amar Yalamed Yirat Asomen HaKevishli Yitziah Asomen HaEchel. Ma Yitziah Asomen HaEchel B'samachlo V'Eze Zeh Yisod Maravi Af Yirat Asomen HaKevish B'samachlo V'Eze Zeh Yisod Dromi. Whichever's closer. When you're leaving the Heichal on Yom Kippur, so which one's closer? The west. When you're descending from the Mizbeach HaChitzon with a regular Chatas, which foundation is closer? South. How is he descending? From the Mizbeach HaZav. Sorry. Mizbeach HaChitzon, he's going down the ramp. So obviously, he's going down the ramp, so it's this southern side that he's going to hit first. Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Amar Zev Zeh Yisod Maravi. And here, opposing viewpoints. Rabbi Shmuel says it's always going to be the west. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Amar Zev Zeh Yisod Dromi. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says it's always going to be the south. Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel Kasavar Yolam Yitzasam Mimefurash. Now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, I understand. It's always going to be the south because... It's always going to be the west because Yolam Yitzasim and Amafurish. Because we'll go to where the Torah says explicitly that it's going to be the west. But Ella Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, my time up. But what's the reason behind Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? I'm Rav Ashi, because I read Pizcha B'darim Kai. So he says, look, I'll tell you why. Because when you leave the Heichal, what side of the Mizbech are you encountering first? So we made the argument earlier that you're encountering the west side of the Mizbech. As we've noted already a number of times, and in Yuma we've seen this a number of times, the Mizbeach is a moving target. Meaning there's a disagreement amongst the Tanayim, where exactly the Mizbeach is situated. It could be as far down as the south side of the Azara, it could be on the north side of the Azara, or it could be in the middle. All three opinions are expressed. Right? The Mishnah Midos, I forget, I think the Mishnah Midos has it in the middle, in the center. Either way, anyway, we discussed it earlier in the Masechta, just reminding each other. Because what was our big issue earlier in the Masechta? when the Kohen is shechting the paraduma all the way out in on the Har Mishcha, so he needed a direct view into the Heichal, and the Mizbech was obstructing that view. And so therefore we had to play around with where the Mizbech was actually going to be located, so it would not serve as an obstruction. Okay, that was, excuse me, that was why we discussed it earlier. Now we're discussing it in terms of when the Kohen Gadol is exiting the Heichal, which side of the Mizbech is he encountering first? The picture that you have in front of you is a no-brainer. The picture that we have in front of us has it that he's encountering the western side.
Right.
Fine. The Gemara notes that according to the Rashbi, according to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, he has the Mizbech all the way on the north side, so that way when you exit, the first side you're going to be encountering is going to be the south side. Gemara says, okay. So, Kai, Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel, Bidebe Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Zevzeh Yisod Dramis. The Gemara quotes one last brisa from the Academy of Rabbi Yishmael, Bidebe Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, in the name of the Rashbi, that it's in the south. Now that's strange because the Gemara just quoted two brisas. One brisa the Gemara quoted is that Rabbi Yishmael was that it was on the west. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said it was on the south. And now the Gemara quotes the brisa where basically they're in concert with one another. They agree with one another. That's the south. V'simancha mashkua gavre l'gavra. And the Gemara says, and you want a good mnemonic to help you remember? They pulled them over to this side. Meaning they basically got the Rashbi to agree with him that it's on the south side. Correction. You're right. They got Rabbi Shmuel, right. That's right. The students of Rabbi Shimon, that's it. Look at the last Rashi. The students of Rabbi Shimon pulled Rabbi Shmuel over to their side. Okay. One last issue, which we're going to start today, we're going to finish tomorrow, and that is the Me'ila issue. Okay. What happens to the blood after it gets poured? Where is it getting poured? On the Mizbeach HaChitzon. What side of the Mizbeach HaChitzon? Machlokas. Either the west side or the south side. After it gets poured, what happens then? Now, it's not, there's no absorption, meaning the Mizbeach is a stone edifice. So what happens then is that there's a canal running alongside. I told you, I don't know exactly how this canal is running. East, west, north, south, I don't know. I don't have a good picture. But basically what this little canal does is it collects the blood, and it, well, together with all other bloods, and it goes out. And it exits the courtyard, and it exits the Harabayas, and it flows out. And now blood was an excellent fertilizer, and the Mishnah says that farmers would come and take the blood and use it for fertilization. But, says the Mishnah, they have to pay for it. Now, why do they have to pay for it? Ostensibly because it's property of the Beis HaMikdash, and they can't use it until they pay for it. Meaning a Me'ila. It's a prohibition of Me'ila. The Gemara notes, Tana Rabbanan, I'm sorry, let me read the introduction. Eilav Eilam et Arvin Ba'am Aviyotin V'chulei Tana Rabbanan Mo'alim B'damim Div Rabbi Meir Rabbi Shimon. So the opinion of Rabbi Meir Rabbi Shimon is that there is a din of Me'ila. There is there's misappropriation. You can't use it until you pay for it.
Are they really degrading it though? I mean, like Me'ila has to be degraded, no?
No, it doesn't have to be degrading. Anytime you get benefit. It's just a simple act of getting benefit, even if it's not in a degrading manner. Meaning misappropriation. You're using something that does not belong to you.
How much blood do you get them from all these distances to get
to travel? Yeah, right. It's. I mean, if it's just the blood of, you know, of Yom Kippur, it's enough. But I assume, I could be right. Never know. I assume that all bloods that are going to be, you know, that are going to be sprinkled and poured, and all of them are going to go down the same canal.
Doesn't that blood have inherent kedusha?
All right, so the Gemara, that's our discussion. That's going to be the remainder of today's discussion, and it's going to go into tomorrow. V'chachamim omrim ein mo'alan b'hem, and the Chachamim say there's no me'ila. Now, ad kan lo pligi elam d'rabbanan. Now, the Gemara notes, this discussion, debate that we're having right now, is not a din d'oraisa. We're not debating the din Torah. We're only debating whether or not there's a iser me'ila mid'rabbanan. In other words, the one that says that there's me'ila is only on a derabbanan level, but on a daraisa level, there's no me'ila. The Gemara says, and how do I know this? So we get to quickly, but hopefully, carefully go through the Amud Beis, Amar Ula, Amar Kra, Lachem Shalachem Yehe. So one possibility is because the Torah describes the blood as being lachem, as being yours, meaning we are the owner of the blood. Now the blood is not in the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's one possibility. Rabbi Shimon says, no, the blood has a very singular purpose, and that is it provides a kapara. But it's a kapara velo lemeila, but not for the purpose of meila. Meaning, because its singular purpose is there only to provide a kapara, so then there's no din of meila. Rav Yochanan Amar Amakra Hu lifnei kapara kala acha kapara. Rav Yochanan says it is, meaning it's in a state and a constant state of being. There's no fluctuation of change of this of the blood. Lifnei kapara kala acha kapara malacha kapara imbo meila. Lifnei kapara imbo meila. Just like after the kapara, there's certainly no meila. So to before kapara, there's no meila. So ve'im lacha kapara lifnei kapara malifnei kapara yeshba meila. Lacha kapara yeshba meila. Okay, good. There's no status change of the blood. Can we argue in the other direction? That just like before you sprinkle the blood, it's subject to the mi'ila, so too after you sprinkle, it's also subject to mi'ila? The Gemara says, impossible. Ein lecha dover shenasas mitzvaso u'mo'alun bo. So the Gemara says, because we have a rule, and tomorrow we'll talk about the exceptions, but we have a rule that once mitzvah has been performed, there is no longer a din of mi'ila. That's a rule. So it cannot be that after you did the sprinkling of the blood, it's subject to me'ila. And because the Torah tells us that there's no status change, so now that I know that there's no me'ila after the kapara, there also is not going to be any me'ila prior to the kapara. Okay, that's why we know that there's no me'ila, neither before or after the sprinkling. Three possible sources why that should be, either lechem or lechaper, or the fact that it does not go through a status change. One of those three reasons leads us to the conclusion that min haTorah there's no din me'ila. And then the only issue is, midrabanan, do the farmers have to pay for it? That's the subject of machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon on one side, the Chachamim on the other side. And our Mishnah's viewpoint is like Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah says that they have to pay for it. I don't know. The chomish is only paid by the owner, so I don't. No, I don't think. I wouldn't think so. Okay.